Yeah, I'll just start. Third week, second week of SQL. So last week we've learned about like the introductory basics of SQL and ordering and stuff like that and aggregate functions. And yeah. Any questions about the stuff from last week? There's quite a bit. No. How did the assignments go? Everybody delivered? Everybody passing? Yeah. Okay. So, all the stuff that we've been doing, or most of it, has been just selecting data from one table, right? But sometimes it's not enough just to get data from one table. sometimes you need to get data from a lot of different tables to like fulfill whatever requirements there are. So today we'll talk about joining and getting data from multiple tables in one single query. So I'll just jump to this. So if we're selecting, say, all the employees, this is what we get, right? But if whatever we want to display, or if the requirements are give me all the employees and the departments they belong to, but also give me the names of those departments, right? So we could do like first name and last name and then department ID, and then we'd get this, right? And then one option would be, okay, let's go through all of the employees and for each of their department IDs retrieve the name for that department ID. Which, if you have a lot of results, then you're doing like 1,000 queries, and that's not very performant. And you're, whoever is using your system will just sit there for a very long time for that to resolve. so an alternative is to do so there's this keyword called join. Join will join whatever the table that you're selecting from is with some other table. So in this case, we can join with departments. And then we need to specify what are we joining these two tables on. And it would be on employees. Department ID equal to departments. Is it department ID? No. No. Yeah. And then the column from the department would be department like name, I guess. Yeah. So by doing it this way, we can get in one single query all the data that we need. So we have the first name and last name of each of the employees plus the department name of the department they're in. So you take the from table, you take the join table, and then you use the on keyword to map out how they should be joined, right? You can do this with more tables. So the what's something else that's in the we can take the manager ID, for example, and there we would be joining it with the employees table itself on employees manager ID equals employee ID. And then I can just do employees. So it's unlimited the number of it's unlimited the number of joins you can do, but it is not that performant to do it. So if you have like if you're joining like 10 tables, 100 tables, you'll quickly see that the performance will start to degrade. But this is how you like linearly join all these tables. You just add another join on after the previous join. So all these errors that have been showing up, this is because I am joining different tables, and here I am joining employees with employees itself, right? And when you're joining two tables, you're selecting from all of the columns that all of the tables that you're selecting from have. So here I'm selecting from employees and then employees again. Both of them have the same columns, so then I need to specify, okay, but first name, where does that belong, right? Does it belong to the first employees table or the second employees table? If there were different tables, they could have conflicting column names, right? Like if we had if the column in the department table would just be called name, and the column in the employees table would just be called name, and then if we're just selecting name, the database system would be like, oh, what's name? This isn't explicit enough for me. I don't know what table this belongs to. So you always need to add the prefix of the table that you're selecting if there's conflicting column names. If there's not conflicting column names, it'll just like go through like all the columns that are in like that aggregated selection, and then it'll just take whatever matches. Another thing is you can have like very long table names, which are a hassle to type all the time. So if you have like a very long table name, and then you have 10 columns, 20 columns, it's a bit of like too much to be typing the column name every time, so you can give them aliases. Which on one hand can be good. On the other hand, it can also be bad because somebody else is reading your query and then they just see like M everywhere. They'll be like, what the hell, what is this? Then they need to like go and figure out exactly what M represents. But for the most part, this is okay. So you just add an alias to the table. So you can do departments D, and then every time you're referring to that table, you can just use the alias instead. So here we can do like E, and we can do E, and here we can do E, and then we can do M. So up here we have employee's first name and last name, and then here I can omit the alias because there's only one column that is called department name, but I can also just add it. And then if we want the name of the manager, we can do M first name and then M last name. And then we have the first name of the employee, the last name of the employee, their department, and their manager. So we get it all in one query. And then of course, like, this isn't really that readable. So you can always give alias to the columns as well. So you can do like as employee first name. And the same for the other columns. I'm not gonna do all of it because I'm slow at typing. Yeah. So this is how you do joined. Everybody following, or am I going a bit too fast? No? Any questions? I'll just keep on going then. That was actually a lot of slides in just one explanation. Okay. Oh, all of the slides. Yeah. So again, I'll recap some of the other stuff. Like, you can also order by like a column of the join, so you can do like E, this would be first name, order by, no. This. Another thing is that join. No, I'll approach that later. You can also do the selections we did last week, or you can also just use where, and then you can do where e first name equals Alexander, for example, and then you get all of Alexander's and their department and their manager. So all the same commands that we've been using, they work here too. You just have to specify the column in the aggregation that you like want to use, and it's pretty much the same. No questions. Okay, I guess that's easy. Sure. I'll keep on going then. So another concept, like, there's two ways to like get data from multiple columns. One is the normal way, this is like the join. One is a shit way that I need to show you how to do it. So you, when you're selecting from employees, you can also select from, I don't know, let's say jobs, so it's different. And this is a thing you can actually do. So what this will do is it will take all of the jobs, and it's going to do like the Cartesian product of these two tables. So we'll take employees and jobs, and then it's going to like take all the rows for the employees, and then for each of these rows it's going to append all of the jobs. So if you have 3 employees and 3 jobs, you're going to end up with 9 rows. If you have, I don't know, like 1,000 employees and 1,000 jobs, you're going to end up with 10,000, 100,000, a million. Yeah, I need to double check. So like in reality, like what the database does behind the scenes is the same as when you're doing a join, because when you do this, you get all the rows, right, with everything appended, and then you can just select where the employee ID, or no, job ID equals job ID. And then the results are basically the same as if you're doing a join. You just use the where clause, and then you're selecting all the rows where the employee's ID match the job ID. So the outcome is the same as doing a join. The problem is you can just, with a join, if you forget a on clause, this should warn you, but yeah. Okay. In decent database management systems, if you like forget a join or forget a non, then this will warn you. Here you have to use the where clause, which can be forgotten, and then you get a shit ton of data that isn't really pertinent. And also, if you're filtering for rows anyways, like we're doing here, where we use the where, and then we also have to have and all these other clauses, this will become like very big very soon, very quickly. Especially if we're joining like 3 or 4 or 5 tables, then like the where clause is going to be huge, and this way you kind of separate the logic a bit more. So yeah, I need to show you this way of doing it, but don't do it. So let's see. So when I'm selecting stuff here for the join, and I'm doing on something something department ID, do you remember like the concept of foreign keys and primary keys? Yes, no? Yeah. So every table row is going to have a primary key that is unique to that row, and that uniquely identifies each of the rows that are present in the table, right? So in this case, let me open this again. For employees, we have 100, 101, 102, and this is automatically incremented every time you put a new employee into the table, so there's never any conflicts, right? And this is a good way of maintaining like that all this data is valid, and that there's no like repeats or anything. When you're referring to a call or from to a row from another table in employees, for example, then you use their ID as a foreign key that uniquely identifies what row you're selecting in that other table. So you can just come here and then you have the department that that refers to, right? So most of the times when these joins are made, they're using these primary key foreign key pairs. And that is to ensure that every time you're selecting stuff, you're getting valid results. We could join stuff on stuff that does not refer uniquely to other tables. We could, I don't know, say we had a field and like a number field in departments, and then we could do like a join where salary equals the department, I don't know, number of people or whatever. That would work, but it doesn't make much sense. So that's why we mostly use like primary keys and foreign keys when doing joins. Yeah. So no questions? No? Does everybody understand how like the joins work? No? Yeah? Okay. So when you're joining two tables, show the diagram here. So this is what is happening, right? Like you have an abridged version at least. So you have employees and last name and then the department ID. And then all those department IDs refer to our foreign keys that refer to your primary key in the departments table. So when you're joining, you're kind of create or doing the connection between the two tables where you kind of replace the department ID with everything that is in the departments table. And the same if we're doing it with three tables, you're taking the location ID, for example, finding whatever location corresponds to that ID in the other table, and then you're appending that to each of the rows. Yeah? No? I'm trying to explain it some different way, but then I have to figure out what that way is. Yeah? Anything make sense? No? Yeah, ish. Sometimes. Yeah. Like, I used to be on that side not that long ago, and then I never participated either. And I was like, ah, fuck the professor, who cares? I'm just here too. It doesn't matter. But now that I'm on the other side, it's kind of like karma, because then, like, no one participates. I'm like, fuck. This is boring for me now. Yeah, oof, that would if when I was in school, if the professor did that to me, I'd be like, oh shit. But then again, I think the professors I had were slightly less cool than me, so no one is going to be yelled at for getting anything wrong or whatever. I don't care enough. Should we carry? It's half an hour. It's a bit too early to take a break. Yeah, I guess I could just keep on going. So the thing we've been doing, these joins, when you're when you're doing a join like this, this is the same thing as saying inner join. And this is a notation that exists because there's both an inner join and an outer join. But most times when you're doing joins, like you want to do an inner join, but sometimes you want to do an outer join. So then you have to specify outer join. That doesn't work. Check the slides, see the notation is different. But what is the difference between an outer join and an inner join? Yeah, oh, you need left. Okay. So when we're doing, does this, well, I'm not going to do the same as last. Okay. So on table A, we have like A, B, C. And then like 1, 2, 3 is the foreign keys for some other table, right? And then here we have 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, and something else. Whatever. So when you're doing an inner join, you are taking whatever is here and kind of expecting to find something else in the other table. If you find it, then great, this is going to be in the result, right? So the result would be like 1A and C. If you're doing it, you find a 2, 2. And then that would be V to D, but then you're trying to find a 4, you don't find any 4s, and they're like, ah, whatever. There's nothing to map these two columns here, so I'm just gonna like leave it up. This is how you do like an inner join, where you kinda always expect stuff to be, or where the results are always the connections that you find, right? If you're doing a outer join, you are returning, or you can specify if you want it to be left or if you want it to be right. And then if it's left, 4 is not going to find anything, but that's fine because it will just return C, 4, and then something like null. Because it didn't find anything. If you're doing a right join, it's the same, but it's the other way around. Where it would be like, if this is E, where it would be like 3, and then E, and then null. And this is useful, say for example, if we're retrieving all of the people and their managers, right, and show me like both employee and the manager name. But some people might not have a manager, but we still want them to be in the results. We just want to be like, well, okay, if they don't have a manager, just return null, but I still like want all the employees. It doesn't matter. If you're doing an inner join, the row that doesn't have a manager is going to be omitted from the result set. If you're doing a left join, or right outer join, your that row is still going to be there. It's just whatever corresponds to the table that that information is missing for won't be there. So we can. Here we had first name, last name, apartment. Employees. So if we do so if we're retrieving all or the count for employees joining with department, joining, inner joining with employees again to get their manager, we get the 105 results. If we're doing a left outer join, then we get 106. Because there is at least, that means that at least one employee, or that means that exactly one employee doesn't have a manager. So when you're trying to do the inner join, it's trying to join with the employee table again on manager ID equals employee ID. For one of them, that manager ID is null, so that row is not going to be returned. For the one, but when we do a left outer join, then it's going to go through and it's going to check like, oh, one row has manager that is null, but that's okay, I'll still return it because it's an outer join. So let me see. So here I'm selecting all the same stuff that I selected before, but just return me the one employee where their manager is null. So we can see here that Stephen King, he's an executive and he doesn't have any managers, so the names for their manager are both null. But if we're doing an normal inner join, then we don't get any rows, right? Because there was no employee where their manager ID is null. That also satisfies all these constraints. Does that make sense? Ish? Yeah. Mm. This is going very fast. I guess I'll... How did she stretch this, these PowerPoints to like an hour and a half? Do I need to speak more? I don't know what else to say. Like, if you don't have any questions, like, I think, I can't really, like, say any more without, like, boring the shit out of you. I'll duplicate. I'm going to do some exercises afterwards and stuff as well, and, because the other thing that is in the slides now is, like, it joins to the same table, but I've already done that. So here, for example, you see that you can join a table to itself, right? If you have a reference to the same table. So in a manager is a reference to the employee table where that row already is, right? Because one employee can refer to another employee because they're their manager. And when that happens, you saw in the beginning when I was getting a bunch of errors where all those columns were ambiguous. That always happens if you're joining to the same table because there's going to be duplicate tables names or duplicate column names for every column because it's the same table that you're joining with itself. So then you just give an alias to one of the tables, or preferably both, and then every time you refer to a field, you just use the refer to a column, you just use the alias before. So I can give you a real life example of where all these joins are used. If I had internet. Okay. That's right. So take this website that I'm showing you this just because it's like my company makes this website. So if you ever have any problems with Gals.no for some reason, you can contact us and complain. But take a list of items like this. So this is a list, or this is a bunch of what is this, like tiles? Yeah. So like not knowing what the data is underneath, like what can you identify that is like that is necessary to display this, right? Just looking at the website. I'll start fighting out people. You give me one piece of data that is here. Yeah, so the name of the item, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, you. Yeah. Yeah. Next one, volunteers. No? Yeah. Yeah, company. Company name. Yeah. Yeah, items in storage. Yeah, that's product dependent, but yeah, I guess we can say color. The picture, yeah. What else? What? The sale? Yeah, if it's on sale or not, yeah. And then you also have both the price that it's currently selling for and then also the price that is on sale, right? That's another field that you need to keep in the database. Anything else? Yeah, like the description. Yeah. And then, so then we have the currency, right? And the unit. So if I showed you the equivalent databases of what this is, or like equivalent, let me see, might take like something like this. One second. I'll set this up at the, during the break. So this is like the first step when you're like creating a database, which is something we're going to do a little bit like later in the semester, which is you just look, like the client will usually, they already have like a specific structure to the data that they want modeled. But you just look at it and you try to like list out all the information that you need to like display it or do something else with it, right? And then you kind of have to start grouping it in like a logical way, right? That kind of like in the beginning, it's kind of hard to do this, but as you like gain more practice, you understand, okay, does this belong in the same table or does this belong in like a separate table? And that also like changes over the course of the project because sometimes you're like, the client will be like, item is only going to have like one description. And then 5 months later, they're like, we actually need a history of descriptions to see like all the past descriptions of the product and all the future ones and stuff like that. And then you can't just have it in one table, you need to have multiple. But here, what can we identify that is like, okay, this only belongs to a product. We can assume that like the name is going to be, belong to like the, this is dime. Oh, this is even better. Shit. So we can take the name, for example, and then we can take the description, let's say. I guess like color could work. Or no, actually. Then we could have like a table that is just like a bunch of colors, and then for each of the products we would have some way of mapping it to these colors. So it have like a color, and a picture can be correspond to a product. I'll create this during the break. It's just a bit easier than just watching my back. So 15 minutes. 1:18. Does this show up in the camera? Yeah, it does. The first like reference group, whatever that's called thing, I think we'll do it tomorrow. So direct all your complaints to him for the BWU students. For you guys, I guess, complain to the guy that isn't here today, or find somebody else to be his speaker. I don't know. Yeah, or complain to him too, I guess. Or her. Yeah, so I went over all the stuff that needed to be displayed there, and I kind of like drew them in a diagram. We're going to do this a lot more, like going further into the semester. But this is like introduction to that, I guess. So you take all the data and you try to like group it, right? And then you have from the way you group it is you take all the stuff or that is not going to be repeated, and you kind of put that into a table. So product, for example, like the name of a product is kind of like a product's kind of like unique, right? There's no like duplicate product informations. So they're gonna have their own like name and description, and maybe like what the main unit they sell in. And then we can have like, for example, like variants for that product, which would be like the different colors. Each of them would have a different picture, and are they on sale or not? And then those variants would each like have a price and a sales price. Each of those prices would have a currency that it's sold in. And then each of the variants would have like a certain amount of items in stock, and each of the products would have a company, right? So this is like all the data that you need to just display this list. And if you're just selecting data without using joins, then you'd have to first select all the products, and then for each of the products, select all the variants, and then for each of the variants, select their prices. For each of the products, select their company. So, and if you have like 10 products, that's okay, but if you have a huge list like this, then quickly you're going to be making a lot of requests to the database, right? And this, if the user expects to like come to this page and it loads in a couple of seconds, that can't really happen because just one access to the database is going to take already like too much time. It should be instant. So this is like the practical application of joins, because if we just have one huge query that gives us all the products with their prices and their currencies and the information about the company, their or the supplier and all this stuff, then you just make one huge query to the database, give me all this data of all the products, and then you can display it in a web page like this. So, and then eventually when you end up with a database of this size where all of these are tables and all of them have like a huge amount of columns. So yeah, I'll keep on. So going back to the database, joins can like give you duplicate results, right? If you are, I'll just copy this query from the slides. So selecting the department ID and the location ID from departments joined with employees where the department equals the department ID. And then location was the location of the department. So what we're doing is get me all of the departments of all of the employees and their locations. And then you end up with like a huge list. So then you can do same with a single table where you can just use distinct to filter the rows on, so you don't get like a bunch of duplicates. Yeah, so we can do some exercises now. Five exercises, half an hour left. All you do, any of you have the database running of like the example database. You want to like try and do the exercises first, or should I just like walk through them myself? Just, yeah, do you want to try first? Yeah, you can do this then. Five minutes, 15, 3 minutes per exercise should be enough, I'm guessing. How long is the exam gonna be? Like an hour and a half? 3 hours? How many exercises can I fit into that? The 3 minutes per exercise? Yeah. Like, a lot of times in school, it was like the limiting factor wasn't your knowledge, it was like how fast you like did the exercises in the exam, which is a very shitty way, I think, of evaluating someone. But yeah, I don't think anyone is micromanaging you like to that point when you're working. But if they are, you should probably quit, I'm guessing. You have to, like, if they check, like, every hour what you're doing. Not the best place to work at. Write a query to display the last name, department, number. Yeah. So write the query to display the last name, department, number, select the query to display the last name. Thank you. anyone finished all of them? No? Who's in exercise one? Yeah. Exercise two? Yeah. Exercise three? You're there? Yeah. Exercise four? Yeah. Exercise five? Yes, I won. That would have been bad if I didn't. Yeah, okay. I'll give you a few more minutes then, and I can go through my solutions. right, you run out of time. So let's see. First exercise says write a query to display the last name, department name, the department number, department name, for all employees. I'm just gonna move this here and then move this here. This here and then bump it up and yeah. So first you start by the way I would start would be just to select everything from employees, because that seems like it's a table you're going to use at least. And then you can do, well, I need data for the departments. So then you can do, okay, I need to join the departments table, and then on, and then you can see here that there's a field called department ID in the employees table. You can also just name these tables right away, so this can be D, and then on E department ID equals D department ID. By the way, like these columns could have like different names. They just have the same names here for convenience, but it's more than common to have like this, where it'd be like department and then the ID of department, and then E refers to department ID. So then we get everything for that drawing, and then from there we can restrict how much stuff is displayed. So we can do E last name, which refers to the employees table. So E for employees last name, to get the last name from the employees table. And then, because you can see here when you get all of the data, there's no two columns that are called first name, so you actually don't need to specify that alias there, but it's good practice. But then for the department ID, we actually need to do it, because you'll see here that there's two department ID columns. One refers to one table, one refers to the other table, so then it's just good to specify which one it is. And then the department name. And that's it. So last name, department ID, department name for all the employees. Yeah, questions? No? Cool. Exercise 2, write the query to display the employee last name, department name, location ID, city for all the employees who are in the commission. So again, selecting everything from employees. We call it D right away, and then we're joining on departments, and then on, and then it would be E department ID. Department ID equals to the department ID. So the basis is the same, and then it also asks for the city, so we need to join with a third column, which would be the location column. So join locations, L, and then you take the L locations ID equals to D location ID. So now you have all the data from all the columns. This is what it looks like. Whole bunch of different columns. And then what we only need is employee last name. Department name and location ID and location city. These are the columns we need, and then we also need to filter them. So the where goes all the way down here after the joins. You can also separate the joins to make them more readable like this. And then we have the where clause, where, what is it? So the employees that earn a commission. So E, is it commission percentage is not null. So then you get all these, and they're all from sales, and they're all from Oxford. And then display all departments along with the details. Yeah. So display all the departments along with the details of departments working in those departments. This isn't very descriptive, and you can use the lecture video as evidence that if I make exercise like this, you can complain because the details isn't really like anything that is like tangible, can be anything. So I'll try to be a bit more specific when I'm making my exercises. But here we can just reuse the last query. We don't need the locations, and we don't need the where. So just employees and then joining with departments, same as we did before. And then the big difference here is that it should include the result, include in the result various departments where there are no employees. So if we just do like a plain join like this, and what the query actually asks for is the department name, and then for the employee details, I just chose to put all their last names into a field for educational purposes, so you can remember this again. So you can do group concat and then E last names. So concat all the last names of the employees, and then you can group by the department ID. So what we get is all the department names and then all the employees for those departments in one single field. But this doesn't return all the departments, because there are departments that have no employees. And that's because we're doing a inner join where department has an ID. You won't find any department IDs that match it in the employees table, which means there's nothing to join with, which means no results are given. So the way to do that is, in this case, we have employees, which is the first one, so that is on the left, and then we have department, which is on the right. So then we can do a right join. Like the outer can be omitted, it can be there or it can be not. If you do like a right join, implicitly you're doing a right outer join. You just save